old, old one there, you know, tremendous song. God is good. His love never runs out. It will follow us to that streets of gold where we will dwell with him forever and ever. Turn in your Bibles, if you would with me, to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, we're just going to look at the last three verses of this chapter. For those that have been with us for the last couple months, we have been going through the book of Revelation verse by verse, looking at the things that were given to John while he was on the Isle of Patmos, things that were, things that were to be, and things that are even going to be in our future. Now, we've looked and covered much in this chapter, or in this book so far. We've looked at two of the judgments that God's going to send upon this world, the seven sealed judgments and the seven trumpet judgments. We've now taken a break just for a moment. We'll be going into the seven vile judgments that are still to come upon a world that is in chaos. Just the two series of judgments that have already been predicted or prophesied to come upon this world is going to throw this world in such a chaotic state that many men, women, boys, and girls will be killed. Others will be panicking. It'll be probably worldwide upsetness, and it's just things are going to happen, but there's even more to come as we get through this book. Now, let's just jump into Revelation chapter 13. There in verse 16, 17, and 18. And he caused all, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, in chapter 13, we begin looking at this chapter, and I mentioned that there are two beasts that are portrayed in chapter 13. We saw that the first beast rises up out of the sea, representing restless humanity during the time of the tribulation period. He will be the world dictator. He'll be known as the Antichrist. He will be the one who tries to rule all the nations during that seven-year period. Then we saw also in verses 11 through verses 15 that there is a second beast. He rises up out of the earth. We believe that to mean maybe out of Israel itself. And he will be a false prophet. He will be a man of religion. You see, the Antichrist, he'll have control basically of the world and the governmental affairs of the world and the nations, war and such as that. And he will have his man. The Antichrist will have the false prophet. He will be his spokesman. It's almost like, I thought of the illustration this morning, it's almost like Moses had Aaron back in the Old Testament, and Joshua had Caleb. Now we see that the Antichrist, the world dictator, he will have a man that comes on the scene, and this will not be just an ordinary man. He will have authority from the Antichrist and even from Satan himself. This false religious prophet or leader or preacher, he will be able to fool the people of the world with the miracles that he's able to perform. We saw last week that he will call fire down from heaven. That will get the attention of people. That will get their belief in him and in the Antichrist. We see that he will have an image built of the Antichrist, and he will be able to give that image life. His sole purpose, the false prophet's sole purpose, is to get people to worship the Antichrist and Satan. Now, we know he will use these miracles and these wonders. He'll use whatever authority and power that he has through persuasion of religion. But now we're going to look at verses 16, 17, and 18, and we see the mark of the beast. There again, let me just assure you that these three verses have probably caused more speculation in the Bible than any three verses I've read. These three verses cause a lot of fear among people. I remember years ago I was at a convenience store, and I went in there to just purchase something. I don't know what it was, a few items. And the man behind the register, the cashier, he totaled it all up, and it come up 666. He said, "Buy something else. Please buy something else." And I kind of understood where he was at, because when I see all those numbers, I thought, I got to buy something, a piece of gum or something. I just don't want to leave with that number 666. You see, it brings a lot of fear into people's heart, just the thought of the mark of the beast. Also, there have been many, many foolish attempts to try to make it mean something that maybe it isn't. I've heard so many speculations that this mark and this number and this name is Ronald Reagan, it was Kissinger, it was Hitler, it's the Pope, it's Nero. I've heard people say it's the supercomputer over in Germany called the Beast. You know, I've heard so much about the mark of the beast in these verses that, to be honest with you, I'm just going to share with you what I think the Scripture says. And I'll let your speculation and mine just run out there. I may throw in a little bit of teriology every now and then, but let's just kind of look and see what the mark of the beast is. You say, "Brother Terry, why in the world would you want to study such or preach on such a message and a subject as the mark of the beast? Why even study about the Antichrist or the false prophet coming up?" My brother in Mississippi, he always asked me what I'm preaching, what I preached last Sunday and what I'm preaching this Sunday. And I told him, he said, "Don't you think you ought to leave those things alone? You're just inviting trouble into your life when you go against Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet." Well, here's why I want to preach about it. Here's why I think it ought to be preached about. People need to be warned about what's coming down the road. The things in Revelation, they will happen. The symbolism that we may not have all full understanding to, all the events, but I know that the Scriptures will be fulfilled, and these things, you need to know that there is a world dictator, an Antichrist, that's coming on the scene. You need to know that he will have a false prophet that will be persuading the people to worship him. You need to know that there is going to be a mark of the beast given to people during that time. You say, "Brother Terry, why do I need to know that?" Well, there might be somebody out there that's lost that you need to warn them. Maybe by just telling them about these things may stir up something in their heart or in their mind that may want them to turn and know more about Jesus Christ so that they can miss these events. So let's just jump right into it and bear with me as we look at these three verses, if we try to just see what is the mark of the beast. Now in verse 16, the first thing that I put down is an ecumenical mark. Now what do I mean by that? I believe that everybody that is lost in the tribulation period will receive this mark. Notice verse 16, "And he causes," this is the false prophet we're talking about. The "he" in verse 16 is the false prophet. "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead." I mentioned a few Sundays ago that Satan is an imitator. He imitates or tries to imitate what God has done. I mean, you think about it. We looked last week, this beast out of the earth will look like a lamb. He tries maybe even to take on the image or duplicate what man may think Christ looks like today. And I warned you about the picture. I don't know if you got that last week, but I warned you about the picture that everybody thinks is Christ today. I mean, in most homes and Bibles and churches, they have pictures of what people believe is Jesus Christ, what he looks like. And I warned you, if the Antichrist showed up looking like that, wow, he's got a lot of followers right off the bat. He's an imitator. I also know that in Revelation chapter 7, verse 3, that God sealed 144 servants of his with the mark of his name. So we see Satan just imitating now. We see through his man, the Antichrist and the false prophet, he's going to cause everybody, he's going to require them to receive this mark. Notice small and great, rich and poor, what? Free or bond, everybody. Why? I thought, why make them receive this mark? His whole purpose, the false prophet, is draw attention to the Antichrist, the world dictator, and Satan. If he can use whatever means that he can to see that they are worshiped, then that's what he'll do. A mark. Now, I think about when John was writing this, John was on the Isle of Patmos. When he was pinning this stuff down that God was giving him, during that time there was Caesar. Caesar of Rome, he was looked upon by the people as a god. Do you know that he had his own image on the coin so that they could always see him even in all their trading and all their business? The people, when they walked by a statue of Caesar in their town, some of them would have to take a pinch of salt and put down beside it and bow down and worship him. So that's been the whole realm of this mark, is so that the people of the world will worship the Antichrist and Satan. I think the world is being programmed for this right now. I believe that the undercurrents of governments, society, and even religions today, there is an undercurrent that is moving the world to the point to where they will worship the Antichrist. They will want to receive the mark that the false prophet puts before them so that they can worship this individual. Society is being prepared for it right now. So we see that, oh, it won't be just the rich get to buy this mark. It won't be the poor that's just branded with this mark. It won't be those that are free or in slavery, those that are popular or unpopular. No, everybody will have to receive the mark of the beast here. So it will be this ecumenical mark. Everybody will be wanting it at that time, and we'll see why they want it. If you don't have the mark, you will stand out. There again, we see that he's preparing the world for this. Notice also what this mark will be. Now, there are a lot of people who are confused about, if I asked you, what's the mark of the beast? Most of you are going to say 666, and I would agree with you. But notice it goes beyond that in verse 17. It says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You see, I've always thought, and really until I was studying this the other day, I thought, well, if you don't have that number, 666, on your forehead, you're not going to be able to buy and sell. But it says, those that have the number or his name are the mark of the beast. The word mark here that's used is a word in the Greek that means like an etching, like a tattoo. Now, I don't know. I've tried figuring this out. Man, my little brain for the last 30 or 40 years has been working on this. Every preacher and pastor tries to read everything. We try to figure it out. We try to find the answer that nobody else has of what the mark of the beast is. Now, I don't know. Will it be 666? Will it be the name of the beast? Will it be just a mark of some kind? I don't know what exactly it will be. It may be all three of them. It may be one or three of them. But then I got to thinking, how's that going to work? I mean, a tattoo, an etching? You know, you can get a tattoo or a laser tattoo or etchings on your hand that sometimes people can't see them. Now, let me see. I'm going to get in trouble here. We'll move over on this side. Brother Randy, bless his heart. I'll pick on Randy today. And I reckon I'll do a little confession on my own here. But when you was lost and wild and young and didn't really have a lot of sense, did you ever go to a place where they stamped your hand? And the only way you could get back in, it had like a black light that they were shining, and you would see that. Now, I know most of the time it was bars and places like that, but I know Randy never went to those places. But you know what I'm talking about. It could be something like that. It could be some type of etching that a black light or something causes it to be seen on your hand or on your forehead to identify you that you are a worshiper of the Antichrist here. It could be a literal number. They could just 666 in your head. But then I thought, well, people could kind of forge that if they wanted to. It could be some type of, I've heard, scannable computer chip. You know, that's the big thing now, that they got them now. I mean, they put them in animals, dogs and cats. They put them in children now. Sometimes if you're a diplomat in a foreign country, I know over in Italy, they would put chips in the children's hands so in case they were kidnapped. We thought about it. I mean, I thought about it. It'd been a great thing when we lived in Albania. Because one of my greatest fears was Caleb getting kidnapped. I was always trying to keep up with my little son. And it's hard to keep up with a little one when you're in a foreign country, in a town or a city or a store, and they're running around, and you lose them for that moment. I thought that would have been a great idea if we could have just had a scannable chip that no matter where he was taken, that they could somehow, through some computer satellite, beam down and say, okay, there he's at. That's where he's at. I don't know if that's how that'll work. I don't know if it'll be some type of fingerprint, some type of eye scan, heat scan. I don't know if it'll be a genetic code that they give you, some voice pat. I don't know exactly what it will be or what it will look like, but I guarantee you this, everybody's going to receive it. Those that are lost in the tribulation period will receive this mark. It will be an ecumenical mark for all people, no matter what your level of society is, from the poorest to the richest, to the known to the unknown, to those who are needed, to those who they don't think are needed, bond or slave, they are going to be marked with this symbol. And then he moves on. You see, I believe, why is it going to happen? Because it's going to be an economical mark. Because he goes on to say in verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. Why do you want to put a number or a name or a mark on people so that you can control them people? Just think, you will not be able to buy nor sell unless you got this mark. Now, don't forget what's already taken place in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period. Prior to this, all those plagues that killed third of the population, all the crops that have been destroyed, the seafood industry, I mean the farming industry, everything is so disruptive. I mean, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to find stuff to even buy. And if you do not have this mark, you're not going to be able to purchase any of that. It's happened before. World War II, there was rationing. You couldn't buy gas or certain things unless you had a coupon. You see, it happens today. Did you know that I can go to Sam's Club and I can buy stuff at Sam's? But you know, when I went to Costco's over here, they said, you can only look. We can let you in and look for a minute. I couldn't buy a thing. Even though I wanted to buy something, I seen something I wanted to buy. I had money to buy with. You can't buy nothing at Costco's. Why? Because I didn't have a car. I didn't have that little number that they could scan and say, okay, you have right to buy here in Costco's. You see, it happens around us even today, even though we really don't realize it. You see, the Antichrist, the world dictator, to control the masses of the world, he will have to control the monies of the world. And he's figured out a way to do it here. This mark of the beast, it will probably lend itself to a total cashless society. Now, there again, we're prepared for that right now. There used to be a time in this country where people had to tote gold and silver in their pockets or in a bag if they wanted to purchase something. Well, they learned that's just too heavy to do all that, to keep up with that. So they learned, well, let's put it in a bank and then we can just write a check. And then they went beyond writing checks. You ever heard of ATM machines? Credit cards, debit cards? You know what's even neater today? I'm kind of behind the scene. We was out in Austin, Texas. We were doing something. Went into some little shop to eat something, coffee shop or whatever. Caleb said, Dad, I got this. I love it when your son says, Dad, I got this. You know you have trained them right. We said, Dad, I got the bill. I said, okay, I'm glad of that. He just pulls out his phone and goes, zip. We didn't even slow down, just zip, pulled his phone out. I said, what, you ain't going to pay? I done paid for it, Dad. That's where we're at. We're at a day and age to where nations and countries are experimenting with a cashless society. India is ahead of Europe and the world. They're already doing it. They're trying to go to a cashless, paperless, faceless society to where you don't have to do it. It saves so much money doing that. Denmark, Norway, they're trying to go that direction. You think about the money that it will save. We have the capability. Never in a time of the world have we had the capability to go into a cashless society. We have computers that can translate and take care of this in no time. Why would it be beneficial for a world dictator during the tribulation period to be able to have a cashless society to where he controlled the people that they had to have a mark to buy or sell? Think about the convenience. Think about, this no tax fraud. Any of you ever work for cash? Don't tell me. Don't raise your hand. You know, you work for cash, you don't have to pay taxes on that sometimes. It takes care of the tax fraud. It takes care of the illegal cash transactions. Saves billions of dollars in businesses and companies' expenses having to deal with all of that paperwork and paying the people to do it. It's so much convenience. I mean, there ain't nobody going to come in and rob you in your house of your money that you got hid in the icebox up in a little jar. They're not going to do that because you don't have no cash anymore. A cashless society simplifies buying and selling. Listen, you talk about cutting down on the drug industry. You talk about taking out a lot of the corrupt politicians who no longer can get their bribes. Why? Because nobody's going to be able to do that unless you got this mark to buy and sell. The world dictator, the Antichrist, through the help of the false prophet and this mark of the beast, will be able to control the economic system of this world. There again, the message is so simple. No mark, no food. And I've learned people to do anything to have food. You say, Brother Terry, I'd never receive that mark. Ain't no way I'm going to let somebody put 666 in my forehead or on my hand. Can you imagine a little mother that may have a child during the tribulation period and there's starvation going on in the world because of all the judgments that God has already sent? And there she is at one of these places to where it's the only place she can get food for that child. And there she stands and they say, you don't have a mark, you got to get a mark. And she looks and sees her baby crying and starving. You don't know what people are going to do. You see, the false prophet and the Antichrist, by the power of Satan, will dictate the economics of this world. People will receive this mark. It's coming. We're already set up for it. Many of you, you don't even got to deposit a check anymore. You don't have to go wait at the window and wait for that little thing to suck it up and blow it back down. Caleb pulls out the phone, takes a picture. It's done, Daddy. It's already there. You see, we are already there. It will be an economical mark. It will be a mark for all people. Notice verse 18. It will also be a number of a man. Now, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Enumerated mark. Now there again, 6 we know is the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day, was he not? You look at in Daniel chapter 3, I believe, Nebuchadnezzar built a statue, a golden statue. It was 60 score high, cubits high, and 6 cubits wide. You just go through the Bible and you notice the number of 6. And it always represents the number of a man, man's achievement. 7 represents the number of God. You know, no matter how high man may get, his number is always lower than God. And that's kind of good to me. I'm glad it's like that. But it will be the number of a man. It will be a man's number here, 666. Now, what man? We know it's the beast number. Who is the beast? The false prophet, the Antichrist. It will be somebody that is in total defiance of God. I couldn't even imagine wanting to play around and get that number on my head. I've seen pictures and photos of some people. They call them skinheads. I don't know of a better term to use. I don't want to use that derogative because I'm kind of getting there. I seen some boys and they had it. That was their gang, 666. Who would want to do that? Somebody who's in total defiance of God. Somebody who does not care about what God cares about. It'd be almost like a mother and father who said, you know, I think I'm going to name my child Satan or Hitler or Judas. You see, here, whoever receives this mark represents total denying of God. Just as the Antichrist, just as the false prophet denies and blasphemes God and everything that is God's, it will be one who defies God and does not care anything about what God cares about. That will be the spirit of those who not only receive that mark, but the one who's issuing it. I think the spirit of Antichrist already works today. We see it around us right now. It's written about there in the New Testament. 666. 666. What is that number four? I've tried figuring out. Is it a prefix? Suffix? I mean, we got area codes. You think about your telephone number, your zip codes, your social security codes. This world that we live in does not function without numbers. Every item that you buy has a barcode, does it not? Has a number associated with it. You go to the register, they scan them things. I go to the little check your own self out, I scan them and it don't scan. I scan them, I scan them 8 times to try to get it scanned. But you can't purchase it without scanning that thing. So we know that every computer works on a number, and Caleb would tell me 0 and 1. He explained that all to me one day, and it just went over my head. But computers work on numbers. You think about children have to have social security numbers even when they're born now. So our whole society is wrapped up in the thought of numbers. And the Antichrist will use that through the false prophet to bring the number of the beast to the people of the world during the tribulation period. Our world will not exist without, it would not exist and work without numbers. And the Antichrist is going to capture on that. And he's going to bring it, that number system, to its fullest during that tribulation period. And people are going to receive it. So not only are all people going to receive it, not only is it going to identify them, let them buy and sell economically. Notice there in verse 18, the most tragic thing about the mark of the beast that I have to say this morning. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. You say, Brother Terry, will anybody refuse the number in the tribulation period? Or will everybody take it? Well, you see, I let the Bible answer that question. The Bible says that there will be people who do not receive that mark. They reject it. I want to give you the scriptures to look at. Go to chapter 15 of the same book that we're in. Just flip over a page. Go to chapter 15 and look at verse 2. Notice what it says here. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. So it showed me there's some people that got over it. But notice also chapter 20, verse 4. Let me show you some others that get over this number. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They will be some who refuse the mark of the beast. Now, who are they? There can only be 3 groups of people. Those who went into the tribulation who were saved. Those who were saved during the tribulation are those Jews that would not receive the mark. Those that would accept Christ. You see, there are going to be some that during that awful time they're going to say no. I'm glad there's always been a people that says no to the devil. There's always been those who stand up for God in a time of tragedy and decision, all through the scriptures. So here's a group that's going to say, they're going to be beheaded. That's going to be kind of tough. Now imagine, put yourself in this. Here's the false prophet. He's got whatever he's doing to put that mark on you. He got a long line of people in line getting that mark. And then here's a line of those who will not take the mark. They've already said, ain't going to do it. No way. Uh-uh. Me and Jesus, we okay? You, no, you're bad. Ain't going to do it. And they're in a smaller line, and over here is a guillotine. This one over here receives the mark. This one puts his head, loses his head. That's gonna what it's going to be like. You're going to have some who will not take the mark. But what about them that take the mark? It's an eternal mark. Once they accept that mark, their souls are doomed for eternity. I'm going to give you the scripture to back this up. Revelation chapter 14. Look at verse 9. Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead or in their hand. So there is a decision to make. You will receive or you will not. He said, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Wow. That's damned for eternity. You see, that's where your friends and your family's headed to. That's where this world is headed to in a time called the tribulation period. To where these two beasts are going to rise up out of the populace, control the world and religion, and cause men to have to receive that mark, make their decision. Reject God and worship Satan and his men, or reject Satan and accept Christ and not lose your eternity. You say, Brother Terry, you're trying to scare me. I am. I wish I had the words to make it so visible to us. Because every one of us knows somebody is lost. They're treading on the doorstep of their eternity. And if the rapture happens this morning, they're going to go into 7 years of tribulation. And chances are they're going to receive this mark. And they are going to doom themselves forever and ever. You see, the world needs to know that. The world needs to understand that this is going to happen. Me and you need to understand this is going to happen. I'm so thankful that I am saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that I do not have to worry about receiving this mark. I'm glad to know that if I went into that tribulation period, I am saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I may lose my head, but I'm not losing my eternity. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I can say that this morning because I put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. There's only two choices in this world, either Christ or the devil. And those of us who have chosen Christ, we are on the victorious side. Those who have not and who don't, they're on the losing side. And pity them when they go into the tribulation period and have to stand in that line and receive that mark and know that their eternity is doomed and damned forever and ever. We ought to be warning people. How can we not warn them? How can we live every day and go to sleep every night, let a day pass that we don't warn somebody about what's fixing to come upon this world? God has called us to be His witnesses. He has chosen us to take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world so that they do not have to experience the bad news of tribulation that's going to come upon this world. Bow your heads just